As you're seated, or when you're seated, please take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 through 9. We have one or two more sermons in Philippians. I'm not sure if I'll finish it next week or 2 weeks after that, but it's been an encouraging book. The Epistle of Joy and also the Epistle of Unity. And today, we see a desire for peace in these verses. Beginning with verse 2. Hear now the word of the Lord. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And our God, you who are our peace, be with us now. Give us a desire to enjoy your peace, to promote your peace. Give us a desire Give us the knowledge that we need. Give us the drive that we need to live for you. Many of us are distracted even now. But as we turn our eyes, as we have been, and as we do now, we turn our eyes to you. And as we turn our eyes to you and see who you are, it should produce within us a peace that's far superior to anything else in this world. Grant us that now. In Christ's name, amen. We live in a world that is always seeking and desiring peace. How many times have you had those days where you just cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I just need a short time of peace. I'm tired of the craziness. I'm tired of the stress. I'm tired of the running around. I'm tired of the pain. I'm tired of the illness. I'm tired of the fighting. Whatever else it is, Lord, I just need a time of peace. As Christians, we know what we want, and we know we don't have it. So it can be frustrating at times, but how much more frustrating must it be for this world seeking after a peace that they don't even know, that they can't even seek for? I read earlier, as I was preparing, I read that out of 3,500 years of recorded history, there have only been, I think, 200, if I read this correctly, 286 years of peace in the world, or at least peace where there wasn't an ongoing war. Now, there may not have been a war, but we know that there wasn't true peace. But in those 3,500 years of recorded history, there have been over, I think it's 8,000 peace treaties made and broken. And however many years you've lived, you know that there has not been one full year of true peace in your life. There's not been one full month. Peace is something that we desire. It's something that the world desires and hopes for, but it is always just beyond our reach. Even in those times where there's not conflict, there's still not the full peace that we desire. And peace, is, as I said just a moment ago, is not just the absence of conflict, but it's actually the wholeness and the fullness of life where everything is perfect. Everything is just as it should be. There's something about human nature that desires and strives for true peace. Well, it's because God created us in the beginning to be at peace with Him and to be at peace with one another, to be at peace with creation. But sin, when it entered the world, destroyed that peace. But as believers, our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ is that as He recreates things, as He brings to fruition the new heavens and the new earth, the new creation, the new man, He recreates peace. He establishes peace once again. And it's through that knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ that we begin to regain the peace that we should have as God's children. The one thing that I want you to get from this sermon today is this, that because God has reconciled Christians to Himself in Christ Jesus, they should enjoy and desire God's peace. Because God has reconciled us to Himself, because God has made peace with us, we are to desire and enjoy His peace. It's a pretty simple statement, but it's a lot harder to live that out, as you well know. First, peace among fellow Christians. In verses 2 and 3, Paul does what he usually doesn't do in his letters. It's very rare that Paul calls people out by name. You know that someone's causing a problem if Paul calls them out by calls that person out by name. Verse 2, I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Obviously, Euodia and Syntyche, or as one of my seminary professors nicknamed them, how odious and so touchy. You can only imagine the gasps of the Philippians as they heard the letter read. It's coming towards the end. Paul's talked about rejoicing. He's talked about unity. He's talked about what they possess in Christ. He's talked about the example of Christ. And here at the end, he says, now wait a minute. You two women, you need to get along. Obviously, there was something going on between the two of them that was causing division in the church. There was some type of rivalry or some type of conflict or dissension or whatever else it might have been that was disturbing the peace and unity of the Philippians. It was so serious that Paul felt the need to call them out by name. Now, whatever you might be imagining was the problem, stop. We don't know. We simply know that these two women were sinning grievously by disturbing the peace of the fellowship. And so Paul not only asked them to agree to be in agreement in the Lord, in other words, to agree that they are both part of the family of God, that they are both those who are redeemed and saved and set apart, but he also asked, he asked them to agree on that, but then he asked the others in the church to help them as well. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women, and then he compliments them. Literally, those who are my co-laborers in Christ. They are my fellow soldiers. The word that's used there is really, if you think of the old phalanx, the phalanx that was used in battle by the Greeks and later adapted by the Romans, side by side, soldiers that weren't supposed to separate at all, but they were supposed to stay unified in their lines. Paul calls them that, my side by side soldiers. Help these women to agree in the Lord. They've worked with me. They've worked with Clement. They've worked with me and the rest of these of my co-laborers, my co-soldiers in Christ. And all of our names are in the book of life. So help them to agree in the Lord. Brothers and sisters, it's a command not only to Euodia and Syntyche to agree in the Lord. It's a command to us. It's an object lesson, if you will, for us in what it we should do as believers when there's a disagreement in the church. We are to labor to help one another. We are to work to help one another to agree in the Lord. Okay, you might disagree on what color carpet should go in the sanctuary. You might disagree on the paint color that should go on the cabinets in the kitchen. You might disagree about what night of the week we should meet for prayer meeting. You might disagree about, I don't know, think of other disagreements you've heard in the church before. They're endless. And the great majority of them are frivolous. In fact, all of them are frivolous when seen in the light of this. All of our names as Christians are written in the book of life. All of us as Christians will one day dwell in the presence of God in perfect unity. And so maybe we can't agree on the carpet color. Maybe we can't agree on the color for the cabinets. Maybe we can't agree on what night of the week to meet. But we can agree on this, that we are one in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all part of the same body. You see, God's truth that we are united overrides everything else that we might think. It overrides all of our other disagreements. The peace that God has given us as we're all covered by the blood of Christ pushes all of those other frivolous disagreements to the fringes. We can have differing opinions, but we must agree in the Lord that we are part of the same body under one head, the Lord Jesus Christ. So there should be peace among fellow Christians. We should desire that. There should also be a desire for peace among all, or amidst all of life's circumstances. Paul comes back in verse 4 to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. He said that a few times at this point. In this epistle, Paul has commanded the Philippians to rejoice again and again and again and again and again. If you want to enjoy the Lord's peace in your life, as we've heard in this letter, stop grumbling, stop complaining, stop looking at how your circumstances don't line up with your expectations, and instead rejoice. Rejoice in who God is and what He's done for you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Next, he says, let your reasonableness, really better, let your gentleness, or even your meekness, be known to everyone. In order to enjoy peace, you must be someone who is gentle and reasonable, who is meek. Now, as I was reading, really starting at verse 4 and carrying through the end of verse 9, Paul has kind of jumped from peace in the church to peace amidst persecution. Really, verses 4 through 9 can go together as one big grouping about how we are to live and enjoy, desire and enjoy and live out or live a life full of God's peace no matter the circumstances. Especially in the midst of trials and persecution. But how many of you, when things get tough, when things get stressful, when things get frustrating, are known for your reasonableness and your gentleness? How many of you, when life is turned upside down, when the worst possible things happen, tragedy after tragedy, you become more and more known for how peaceable you are? Is not the reaction of most of us when things go unexpectedly or things get tough to get angry, to get frustrated, to get mean, to react against others? How do you react? I'm pouring out myself and how I react to those things. How do you react? Do you get more anxious? Do you get more frazzled and nervous and running to and fro and fretting? Or do you become more and more gentle to those around you? More and more loving. More and more, you could even say compassionate. Do you rejoice more when trials come? Do you become more gentle and compassionate? And do you pray more? The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. Really, the Lord is near. He's near at hand. It's really a twofold meaning here. You should know the peace of God because you know that the Lord is near to you at all times. He's near to you in this respect first. His Holy Spirit dwells in you. He can't be more near to you, closer to you than indwelling your very soul. But it also means this, that the Lord is coming soon. So no matter what life might bring, no matter how upside down the world might become, the Lord's returning, and He's returning soon. Brothers and sisters, as we look at this world around us today, as you look at the world and the culture and how it's changing, how values are changing, how good is being called evil and evil is being called good, as you send your children out into the world, or as you look at your grandchildren and wonder, what type of world what type of world will they grow up in? What are their children going to do? What's going to happen to the church? Is persecution coming? As we see more and more churches run away from the truth of God's Word or compromise on the truth of God's Word, do we do what Paul says here? Do we rejoice more? Do you rejoice more? Do you become more gentle and compassionate and reasonable? Do you think more and more, it's okay? I'm not concerned because the Lord is near. The Lord is at hand. Do you pray more that God's kingdom would grow? Do you give more? But look at the second half of verse 6. But in everything by prayer and supplication, not just asking God to change things, but prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. How is it in the world in which we live that we're supposed to rejoice? We're supposed to become increasingly compassionate and gentle. We're not supposed to be anxious about anything, and we're supposed to increase in thanksgiving. How is that possible? It's possible because the wisdom of God and the ways of God are not the ways of this world. We have something that the world doesn't have. We have the peace of God. Here you read, which surpasses all understanding. Really, it's which is far superior to any human understanding. We are reconciled. You are reconciled to God in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has said, I am no longer at war with you. You are no longer at war with me. You are now my own. That's what God said in the cross when Jesus died. That's what God said in the resurrection. And because you are His, you have every reason and more to rejoice, to give prayers of thanksgiving, to be gentle and compassionate. Because what has God done for you? He's been gentle and compassionate. He's shown you mercy in Christ Jesus. How can you not go out and do the same for others? You see, that's evidence to the world that you possess a peace that the world doesn't possess, that you respond in these ways. You're showing to the world by living out these things that the peace of God is guarding you. It's guarding your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I need to make this point here. This verse is usually used, verse 7, in the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. It doesn't mean that it's a feeling that makes no sense. That's not what the language here means. It's not a feeling that is just magically sprinkled upon you by the Lord. It's a peace that is far superior and far surpasses this. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God's ways are higher than our ways. God's peace is so far beyond any other peace that the world offers that it can't even compare. Even if you understood All human understanding and explanation of what's going on in the world and why and what things could be fixed, the peace that God has given us in Christ Jesus is so far beyond all of those things that they're meaningless. All that matters is that we, that you and I, possess Christ. Peace among fellow Christians, peace amid all of life's circumstances, and lastly, peace in our own minds. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is anything excellent, or if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. How many of you memorized this verse when you were a child? Many of us have heard it. Many of us have said it, recited it to ourselves. How many of you actually do this on a daily basis? It's so easy to look around, as I said earlier, and wonder, what is the world coming to? Look at the evil that is going on in our world. Look at the economy. Look at culture. Look at what's on television. Look at how the commercials have changed on television. I can't even let my children watch TV programs anymore because of the commercials and what they promote. It's so easy to fall into a pattern of worrying about what this world is doing. It's so easy to fall into a pattern of thinking about all the things that are bad in this world or all the things that are wrong in your life. It's nearly impossible to set your mind on these types of things. In our world of Twitter and Facebook and a 24-hour opinion news cycle, in our world of COVID, it's impossible to know what's true. What's true? Who's telling me the truth? Who can I trust? Which of these people are honorable? Which of these people are out for themselves? Who are the honorable ones? Who can I trust? Who can I listen to? It's increasingly confusing. But instead, rather than getting frustrated and saying, I don't know who to trust, I'm not going to believe anybody, and instead of becoming cynical about the world we live in, rejoice that God is pointing you back to His Word and saying, you're right, you can't trust anyone else, you can trust me. My truth is truth, and there is no other truth. As the world pours out these pictures and these images and these depictions of what they love, of what they think is good, and we see that what they call good is actually evil, and as we live in this world and just wonder what's going on. Thank God that as you look out there, it drives you back to Him, and you realize that you desire nothing else except for Him and His truth. You see more and more that the world has no lasting value. It's passing away. That the only thing that ultimately matters is that you know Christ and Him crucified and Him resurrected. That your hope is not in this life, but in the next life. Think on those things. And then in this life, as you see small acts of kindness, genuine kindness, small acts of genuine love. When you see someone standing up against the evils of the world, trying to do what is right, standing firm upon God's Word, rejoice that God is still at work. It's so easy to see brothers and sisters in Christ, and especially in a PCA church, in a Presbyterian church, we're kind of known for nitpicking about theology and other things. But how great is it to see a brother and sister in Christ, or sister in Christ, no matter the denomination, standing up for the truth of God's Word. It's like, I don't care what the rest of the world says. I don't care what these new doctors say. care what this new philosophy is. I don't care what this new understanding of the world is. God's truth is truth, and I will not compromise it. Rather than nitpicking about the small things that person might have wrong, rejoice. That God has His people in all corners of the world. As I was listening this week, there's a radio talk show host who raised $21 million to get Christians out of Afghanistan. $21 million to fly them out of Afghanistan so that they might not suffer under what's unfolding there. At that I rejoiced. That's just. That's lovely. That's commendable. That's excellent that someone would do that. And then all the people that contributed. Brothers and sisters, those are the things in this life we hold on to. When you see your children learning Scripture, when you see your children living out Scripture, when you see your brothers and sisters in Christ coming to you and telling you about what the Lord did for them this week, what the Lord showed them as they read their Bibles, rejoice. Set your mind on those things. And then think about those who are living these things out, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. When you see someone like Paul, like the Apostle Paul, who is living out God's Word, practice these things. You go and do the same, and what will happen? Well, in verse 7, it was the peace of God will guard your hearts. Now it's the God of peace will be with you. People of God, you are to desire peace because that's what God has already given you. Because God has reconciled you to Himself in Christ Jesus. He has made peace with you. You go out and do likewise. He has given you, He has given me the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of making peace. And it's not by solving disagreements, it's not by counseling, it's not by doing anything else, but it's by pointing people to the Lord Jesus Christ who loved you and gave Himself for you. It's by going out to those around you and saying, do you want to know what peace is? It's God becoming man, living as a man, suffering in this fallen world, dying on a cross, being subjected to all the wrath of God, and then rising again and declaring victory over sin and death forever. Do you want to know what peace is? That is peace. He Himself is your peace. Do you desire Him? To desire the Lord Jesus Christ, to be like Him, to love Him, to serve Him, is to desire peace. Set your hearts and your minds upon Him so that you might know the peace that is far superior to any human understanding, to any human peace, to any thing that we can enjoy in this world. His peace surpasses not only all understanding, but all time. And if you're resting in Him, you'll enjoy it forevermore. It will abound and abound and abound. You'll grow to know it more and more and more in this life. And believe it or not, in eternity, you will enjoy peace more and more and more and more. Desire that. Desire the peace of God and promote the peace of God in this life. That is what you were called to, and the God of peace will abide with you. Let's pray. Our God and Father, again, we praise Your name and we bless You. We thank You that we have a peace in the Lord Jesus Christ that is far superior to anything else that the world can offer. May we learn to enjoy that peace. May we desire it. May we promote it. May we do this as individuals. May we do it as a corporate body. so that the world might see your glory revealed to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen.